In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Teresa of Calcutta, in some letters to the Archbishop of Calcutta, spoke of her inner darkness since she lived in that night of the Spirit of which St. John of the Cross speaks, and through which one must pass before reaching spiritual marriage, or the highest degree of union with God. In a letter she said, "Pray for me, because inside me there is an icy cold. Only blind faith sustains me, since in reality for me everything is in darkness. As long as our Lord receives all the delight, the truth is that I do not count. The more I love him, the less he loves me. I want to love him as he has never been loved, and yet there is that separation, that terrible emptiness, that feeling of the absence of God. For more than 4 years, I have not found any help in the direction of Father Van Exum, although I obey him blindly. I have often gone to the confessional hoping to speak, and yet nothing comes out. Over the course of the last year, I talked to the Father about this, and he tells me to bring it up to you. I'm not complaining, I just want to go to the end with Christ." In a letter to Father Neuer, she wrote, "Since 1949 or 1950, I have had this terrible feeling of loss, this unspeakable darkness, this loneliness, this continuous longing for God that causes me that pain deep in my heart. The darkness is such that I don't really see with the mind or the heart. God's place in my soul is empty. There is no God in me. However, the pain of longing is so great that I only long for God over and over again. Sometimes I only hear my heart scream, 'My God.'" In October 1958, the darkness of her soul opened a little, and the divine sun shone in her heart. She writes, "Excellency, you will be happy to know that on the day you offered a holy mass in the cathedral for the soul of our Pope Venerable Pius XII, who died on October 9, 1958, I asked him for proof that God is happy with the congregation. There at that moment, the long darkness disappeared, that pain of loss, of loneliness, that strange suffering of 10 years. Today my soul is full of love, with unspeakable joy, with an unbreakable or intact union of love. Please give thanks to God with me and for me." Despite the darkness that frequently lived in her soul, her faith was unshakable, and her love for the Eucharistic Jesus was the center of her existence. Her spirituality was developed around the words of Jesus on the cross, "I am thirsty." And that's why she says, "He spoke of his thirst not for water, but for love, for sacrifice." Our goal is to quench this infinite thirst for a God made man. Just as the angels who adore him in heaven ceaselessly sing the praises of God, so the sisters, using the four vows of absolute poverty, chastity, obedience, and charity towards the poor, unceasingly satiate God's thirst through his love and the love of the souls that carry him. She could truly say, "My community is the poor. Their safety is mine. Their health is mine. My house is theirs." But I am not talking about the poor in general, but about the poorest of the poor, those whom no one approaches because they are contagious and full of microbes, of those who do not go to church to pray because they are ashamed to go naked, of those who do not eat because they no longer have the strength to do so, of those who collapse on the sidewalks because they are about to die and passers-by pass by without looking back, of those who do not cry because they have already run out of tears. As missionaries of charity, we are called to see Christ in the guise of bread and touch him in the shattered bodies of the poor. During the visits, they will encourage the sick who profess the Catholic faith, even if they are not dying, to ask for communion. They will also encourage true devotion to the Sacred Heart and the Rosary as a family. They will motivate Catholic families to consecrate themselves to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And they must teach families to pray, no matter if they are Christian or not. We must not impose our Catholic faith on anyone, but have a deep respect for all other religions, because it is not fair to force others to accept the Catholic faith against their conscience. However, we will ask for the gift of faith for them, and when there is an opportunity to speak with them about the Word of God, we must not let it pass. For St. Teresa of Calcutta, all the sick and needy were equally important, not only the poor in material goods, but also the sick in body and soul. For this reason, she founded centers to care for alcoholics, drug addicts, AIDS patients, lepers, the dying, abandoned children. In a word, for all the despised and abandoned in society. In her heart, the words of Jesus always resounded, "I am thirsty," and she wanted to quench Jesus' thirst for love with her love for others to attract them to him. She also heard in her interior the words of Jesus to the Samaritan woman, "Give me a drink." Jesus is thirsty for everyone to be saved and be eternally happy with him in heaven. For this reason, Jesus suffers when he sees so many millions of people for whom he shed his blessed blood who are far from him and reject him and do not accept his salvation. These words, "I am thirsty," she had them written on the wall of all the chapels of the congregation next to the crucifix in the chancel, which is the space around the altar. And she says, "I am thirsty" is something much deeper than when Jesus says only, "I love you." Not until you know deep down inside that Jesus has thirst for you, you cannot begin to know who he wants to be to you or who he wants you to be to him. Mother Teresa said to the Archbishop of Calcutta, "I want to become a saint, quenching Jesus' thirst for love and souls. And I have another wish, to give my mother, the church, many saints from our congregation. These are the only two things I pray for, work for, and suffer for. Please pray for me to carry out Jesus' wish in regard to our congregation and myself. If I ever become a saint, I will be a saint of darkness. I will be continuously absent from heaven to turn on the light of those on earth who are in darkness." St. Teresa of Calcutta, like St. Therese of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face, wanted to spend heaven doing good on earth. She wanted to pour a shower of blessings on the world and to light with her light the souls that were dead or cold with God's love, and especially the families. She repeated until exhaustion, "The family that prays together stays together." To her collaborators, she said, "You have to give until it hurts, not what is left over." She insisted that the sisters say to Jesus every morning, "Take, Lord, what you want and give me what you want." And they had to say it with a big smile. She also told them, "Do not seek to do great things. Do only small things, but with great love. The smaller the thing, the greater our love must be." She liked to repeat frequently the prayer of Francis of Assisi, "Make me an instrument of your peace." And in international meetings, she asked them to pray it with her. When she was referring to Jesus in prayer, she used to call him, "My Jesus," or "My husband." And Jesus said to her, "My wife, my little one." Speaking one day about what Jesus meant to her, she said, "For me, Jesus is my God. Jesus is my husband. Jesus is my life. Jesus is my only love. Jesus is my all in all. Jesus is everything to me. I love him with all my heart and with all my being. I have even given him my sins, and he has married me with tenderness and love. Now and for all my life, I am the wife of my crucified husband." To someone who asked her about her nationality, she replied, "By blood, I am Albanian, but a citizen of India. I am a Catholic religious. By vocation, I belong to the whole world, but my heart totally belongs to Jesus." She used to distribute a card as if it were a business card, in which it said, "The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. The fruit of service is peace." She often repeated, "I feel like a small pencil in the hands of God. He is in charge of writing. He takes care of thinking. He takes care of the movements. I just have to be the pencil." She was fully convinced that all her human achievements and triumphs were the work of God, and that she was only a small instrument in his hands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.